As this song plays, church, I just want you to keep your eyes closed and just receive what the Lord has, how precious He is. That last song as we sang, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lord can go from an apex predator to handle every situation in your life to a lamb that is in perfect peace. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you have done for us. But Lord, I thank you that the best is yet to come, Lord. That in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, Lord. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in your church, even this day, even this morning, Lord God. Even this morning, Lord God. Father, I thank you that your presence is in this place. Your glory is in this place. Your love is in this place. It is surrounding us even now. Precious Holy Spirit, yes, you are right here with us. Ha! Right here with us. We're not alone. We're not forsaken. We're not abandoned. We're not lost. We are not too far. Oh God, the sweetness of who you are. The sweetness of who you are. Father, let your anointing drip from heaven, Lord, upon each and every person today. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Let the holy anointing from heaven wash over, drip down over each and every person here this morning. There's nothing too big for you, Lord. There's nothing too big for you. Lord, I thank you for your sweetness, your gentleness. As we release and avail ourselves to you, Lord, you are ready and present to guide us, to carry us, to walk with us, to talk with us through every storm, through every battle, through every valley. Ha! You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, there's nothing. There's nothing that this world can throw our way that you can't handle. Church, whatever you walked in with this morning, I thank you that it's under your feet. Any fear, it's rebuked and cast out. Any doubt, it's removed. Any worry, any anxiousness, we tell it to go right now in Jesus' mighty name. Any sickness or disease, we rebuke it now in Jesus' name. The Lion and the Lamb is present. There's nothing the enemy can do. There's nothing darkness can do. It's fleeing. It's leaving. Right now in Jesus' name. Let your faith arise. Grab a hold of God's goodness that He has available for you even now. Grab a hold of it by faith right now. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. It's present for you right now. Right here and right now. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait for a service. Don't wait for a time. The time is now. It is high time to receive all God has for you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Yes, He's refreshing His children. He's refreshing His people. If you're saying, what's the service doing? This is the service. This is your time with God. This is the appointed time. There's no time like the present to enter into the presence of God. Yes. Just worship Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Healing is here. Healing is right now. But I also keep getting the picture of a fracture. Not a fracture in a bone, but a fracture. I don't know. Fracture. There's a fracture somewhere in your life. And the Lord says He's going to heal that great divide. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's healing right now, though. It's not just physical healing. There's emotional things that need to be healed. There's scars. You know, the Lord, He can remove those scars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One touch from God can change your life. That's why we're here, church, is to receive that touch from heaven. And that touch is going to do more than you think it can do. You may have came to receive something that you actually know about, that you feel or you know about, an answer to a question, an answer to a decision, a healing to a sickness or a disease. But a touch from God can do way more than just a manifestation of a physical thing. A touch from God can transform you and set you on a course for eternity, can put a calling and reveal a calling on your life that will set you on a path to fulfill the plan of God for your life way beyond the moment in time that you're believing for just a simple touch to bring about a manifestation. You see, the presence of God and the glory of God want to carry you all the days of your life. God just doesn't want to just touch you in a moment when you have a need. He wants to dwell with you, walk with you, talk with you, comfort you, and carry you all the days of your life. Yes, He can be a moment-to-moment God with you. But He can be an everlasting Father. He can be a Prince of Peace. He can be your all in all. He can be your life. He can be your joy and your peace in every moment of every day. Don't hold back the touch that God has for your life. Don't limit the power of His touch. Don't orchestrate or try to control the hand of God from touching your life. God's touching people right now. He is touching people's lives right now, setting their course for eternity, setting their course for the rest of this earthly time here. When you get touched by God, your life is changed. When you have an encounter with Almighty, you're never the same again. And that's what He does in these moments. It's not just on a Sunday morning. so awesome. You're awesome in this place. That song came in my spirit. It's not called that, but that's a phrase in the song. Awesome in this place. And as I was meditating on that, you may be seated. As I was meditating on that this morning, awesome in this place. What place is he talking about it? The place is his presence. Wherever God's presence is awesome. It can be in a church service. It can be in your heart. It can be in your thought patterns. It can be in your feelings. And when you receive a physical miracle, that's an awesome place to be. God's an awesome God. And he's doing awesome things. Hallelujah. I'm just in awe of God. Praise be to God. Father, I thank you for this time. Not just this time. I thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord, in this body of believers. I thank you, Lord, for those listening online that maybe can't make it, that are shut-ins, or maybe in some other country, Lord God. I thank you for them. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And it's a good one. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for every single creative being that is upon this earth. You have a plan and a purpose, and it is a good one. And I rebuke any lie of the enemy that speaks contrary to that in Jesus' name. Because God is a good God and a loving God. And Father, I thank you for what you're about to do in this place here this morning. Lord, you're a great and awesome God, and we thank you for all you've done, for all you're doing, and all you're about to do in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Awesome in this place. Are you ready for an awesome day? Amen. Amen. Get ready, because God is awesome, and he's got an awesome thing for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I get so excited, I can't even contain myself. 2 Corinthians 8, as we prepare for the offering this morning, I just think to myself in the presence of God, what do I have to give that compares to what he gave to me? I have nothing that compares to the sacrifice and the giving that the Father gave to me, his Son. Nothing compares. There's nothing material. There's nothing in this world that can compare to what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Amplified, the first five verses. But as I saw this and as I was meditating on this scripture, I thought to myself, from Genesis to Revelation, the kingdom of God, the word of God, is about giving. The whole book of the Bible is about giving. Everything is about giving. He gives life. He gives peace, he gives joy, he gives eternity, he gives healing. Everything's about giving. It's about giving and receiving. It's about sowing and reaping. Every single thing of the kingdom of God is God giving to his creation. Giving, giving, giving. Releasing of his power, releasing of his love, releasing of all he has so we can receive it, partake of it, and live in it. The kingdom of God is giving. It's giving. It's giving. And I just kept meditating on the kingdom of God and what that, going through scripture and how all the men and women of God prior to in the Old Testament gave their life, laid down their life. They gave, they gave, they gave. And I see ministers, I see families, I see wives, and they give and they give and they give. And God just pours out in people's lives so they can give and give and give. And I think to myself, wow, that's so contrary to society. Because everything in this world is receipt. Want, 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 want. And God is about give, give, give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 5. Guess what? God is still giving today. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you, this is Paul speaking, about the grace of God which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, awakening in them a longing to contribute. So there's a grace from God that allows us to give, to contribute, to put forth, not just finances, but time, talents, our whole lives. There is a grace to serve God. I don't think people realize this, but we often ask the question, how do I serve? Or, you know, I don't necessarily have a desire to serve. I don't know what to do. God gives you a grace. There is a power from heaven that will cause you to want to contribute to the church and the kingdom of God. God will give you an anointing to serve, to contribute, to bring forth. Maybe it's vocals. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's instruments. Maybe it's playing an instrument. There is a contribution and a grace from God on each and every believer to contribute to the body of Christ. There's a grace there for that. And when you tap in, it's the grace of God is the favor of God, not your own power. It's a grace from heaven. So there is a grace from heaven for you to contribute. Not in your own power, but the gifting He's placed in you, He empowers that for you to give. And some people are huge givers. Because there's a grace upon their life to produce and raise finances to bless the body of Christ. There's a grace on people in business to bring in great riches into the kingdom of God. There's a grace for that. Amen. There is a favor on people to make money. Just like there's a favor on people to minister and contribute that way. Fivefold ministry. There's mercy. There's all these giftings that are graced from heaven for you to contribute to the body and bless everybody else around you. To give of yourself to those around you. That's the grace of God. That's what makes the church different than the world. Total opposite of the world. The world does not have the grace to give. They have the selfish desire to take. Total opposite. Total opposite. Verse 2, for during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. Let me read that again. There is two spectrums here you need to see. Notice they were in deep, severe distress, but they had abundant joy. And there is deep poverty, but they overflowed in the wealth of their lavish. They were generous in the midst of their poverty, and they were joyful in the midst of their stress. How in the world does that take place? How in the world can you give and contribute when what you see around you is against what you're doing? How can you have joy in the midst of stress? The grace of God. How are you able to live in a society and dwell and thrive when things are going the way they're going? The grace of God. The grace of God is upon the church. That's why the church will never fail. That's why the grace of God, or that's why Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm human. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Why? Because the grace of God is on the church. The grace of God is on each of you. So guess what? You're not going to fail. You cannot fail, church, because of God's grace. You just have to realize it's not about you. It's about who's on you and who's in you. That's the grace of God. So joy can come and joy can live and joy can stay in you in the midst of severe struggle or severe turmoil. I don't think you're seeing what I'm saying here. They had generosity in the midst of poverty. That is an oxymoron in the English language, in society. How can you be generous and give in the midst of poverty? The grace of God. How can you do that? Faith in God, trusting in God. How can you get saved when you're loaded down with sin? the grace of God. The grace of God. How can you laugh at a situation that's negative? The grace of God. Everything that we that comes against us as a believer of the world, how can we deal with it? The grace of God. When you see it this way, it doesn't matter what's coming. Doesn't matter what the storm looks like. I talked about a prophecy 2 weeks ago from Rick Renner about politics and finances being in a total upheaval this year. But those who wait upon the Lord and those who stick with God, God's going to see them right through. What is that? The grace of God. We are able to contribute. We're able to love people. We're able to serve people. And God makes up the difference that the world cannot offer. That's the grace of God. My message is turning into a grace of God message instead of what I thought it was. Instead of giving, it turned into grace. But grace causes you to give. Grace will cause you to do things that are contrary to what you think and see. You didn't, that when you accepted Jesus, you didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what, today's the day I'm going to accept Jesus. Maybe some of you did. But the grace of God came on you through the word and you made a decision. I'm going to step over into a place of the grace instead of the place I've been. Because the place I've been feels a lot like hell. And I'm tired of it. And you made a decision. I'm done with that and I'm stepping over. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift from God. By God's grace, we got saved through our faith. Our faith met God, and God changed our life forever. Amen. Amen. And it can happen with your finances. It can happen with every area of your life. Amen. For by God's grace, His salvation, His saving power to deliver you is available for every situation. When you say yes to the Lord, when you say yes to God, you're saying, I release my faith in the grace of God, and I'm going to see deliverance in my life. Hallelujah. And that's what they're seeing here. That's what the Macedonians are seeing here. This is what Paul's talking about here. Verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily. So it was their ability, beyond their ability, they gave. But it was voluntarily. That means they made the decision themselves that they were going to give. It wasn't a requirement. There wasn't like, we're going to pass out, and what number we put on the paper, that's what you need to give, and if you don't give that amount, we're done with you. It doesn't work that way. It's voluntarily. They made a decision that the grace of God was more important, and faith in God was more important, to generously release of even things that they barely had enough to get by themselves. They're like, you know what? We're gonna release anyway, because we know what we're releasing in has more power than what we can do in our own power by ourselves. We know that they knew when they sowed that they were giving into a realm and an anointing that was much greater than their ability themselves, because they were already at a place of the verge of poverty. They were already at a place of not enough, but they said, you know what? We're voluntarily going to step over into the grace of God, and we're going to see the delivering power of God work in our lives. Amen. Amen. They made the decision. Nobody else. Paul did not demand it. He didn't command it. He didn't beat it out of them. He didn't try to preach it out of them. Voluntarily, they made a decision. I see God. I'm going to choose His way over the way I'm going. Each individual, each one of you, even those that are married here today, each one of you has to get in your heart that I want to receive the grace of God. And I'm going to step over into a place of deliverance in these areas that the Word of God talks about. Amen. This truth, you'll find out that even if you talk about finances, it's still the basis of it, the foundational truth to make finances work in your life. It's the same way with every other area in the scripture. So whether it's salvation, that works the same way as healing. They work the same way. For by grace you are saved, delivered, set free by your faith. Same thing with healing. Same thing with finances. God's grace, your faith, come together. All of a sudden you have, the Lord shows up. And it's voluntarily. It's your faith. Each person's individual faith to say, you know what? I'm making the decision that I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to sow. And I'm going to put this in voluntarily. No strings attached. Don't put anything in with a hook and a string to it saying, we're going to try this out. We're going to give it a couple weeks, and then we're going to yank it back. You can't do that. That's not voluntarily. That's not releasing. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, faith is beyond your ability. If it's in your ability, it's not in faith. Faith is stepping out into something you do not see, knowing that God's with you. Fully persuaded that God's going to take care of you. That's faith. And that's beyond their ability is exercising faith. And that's where God operates. That's where the blessing of God is. Not in your ability. It's in you stepping over into His grace, in His ability. They gave voluntarily, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. Not only did they give materially, as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as His representatives by the will of God, disregarding their personal interests in giving as much as they possibly could. So notice that they gave material things, but what did they give first? They gave their heart. They gave themselves to the Lord. And that is the key that I want you to get out of this. It's not the amount of money. It's not how often you do it. Oh, I give once a week on Sunday mornings, or I give this. It's not about, it's you give your heart to the Lord and He'll show you where to give and when to give and how much to give. Amen. It's not the material side, it's the heart matter. Number one, God looks at the heart. Not only did they give materially, so they did give materially. They did bless with material things, tangible things. And that's what Paul said. We hope they would, because Paul knew there was blessing in that. But first, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as His representatives, by the will of God, disregarding their personal interests. When you give, you're going to disregard your needs to put God's needs first. That is the breaking point of a believer's life, stepping over into a realm that they've never stepped over into before. It's putting God's interests above your own. It's so difficult for so many people to do, but when you step over, you're stepping over into the promised land and into the kingdom. And that's when you start seeing the supernatural power of God. When you lay your own life down and you allow God to take your life and use you. It's a great place to be. And I'm just giving you an opportunity to enter into that place with your giving this morning. Amen? Amen. If you want to, that's probably not the best terminology to say. If you would like to voluntarily give, amen. There's many ways to give. You can give online. There's things on the board here, on the screen. If you're listening online, there's multiple ways to give through the website, through Venmo. You can text to give. But as far as people here this morning, there's envelopes there. You can write a check, New Freedom Church. Many ways to give. Many ways to give. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you make so? There's so many different ways that the world has offered to give. But it's who you're giving to is the key. It's not the way you give. It's the heart of giving. Ushers, if you want to come forward. Just do what the Lord's telling you to do. Do what the Lord is telling you to do. Father, I thank You that You're speaking to people. You're speaking to the hearts of people. Hallelujah. Don't just give up based off of what you see or what you think. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. This is a simple act of faith that'll help you throughout your whole life here on earth. is to obey the voice of God. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. Not what pastor's telling you to do. Not what your spouse is elbowing you, say, you give this. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. Be in agreement with your spouse. Pray together. Take a moment together. And do what the Lord's telling you to give. It's simple. Lord, what would you have me to give? Show me, Lord. Not based off of my need, not based off of my want, not based off of my lack of giving or abundant giving in the past month or two. Lord, what today? What are you speaking to me today? Thank you, Lord. Start thanking him for it. Faith is thankful because faith is total surrender and trust in God. Hallelujah. If you're listening online, do what the Lord's telling you to do. Just like in the triumphant entry before Jesus entered Jerusalem, he told them to go and get a colt and loose it, for I have need of it. The Lord may be asking you to loose something because the Lord has need of it. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. You guys are doing well, ushers. I stand up here under the anointing. There's anointing on you to stand. You're good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ready to give. Ready to give. Thank you, Jesus. Generously. Father, prepare my heart to give. Make sure your heart is pure when you give. Don't give if your heart's not pure. Voluntary is a pure heart. You make a decision to volunteer somewhere. Put your heart in your volunteering. Hallelujah. Just give a little bit longer. Hallelujah. Don't base your giving off of what you see. What is the Lord speaking? Because what the Lord is speaking, when you obey what the Lord says to do, look out, because he does not respond based off of just your needs. He'll bring overflow when you obey and do what he says to do. One thing I know about the Lord, I know multiple things about the Lord, but one thing I know about the Lord is he wants you to operate in faith. He doesn't want you to operate based off of what you see. Because faith pleases God. That way he knows you're trusting in him. You're believing in him. To meet every need. Lord, you see my needs. You know my needs. But I'm sowing here this morning because I feel in my heart this is what you're telling me to sow. And I'm trusting in you. And you're going to bring that to pass in Jesus' name. It's not going to come back to me the same way it came. It's going to come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Man, when God touches your seed and your offering, it explodes. It explodes. And that's what I'm believing for you today. Ushers, go ahead and serve the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Generous hearts. Generous hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have a generous church. We have a body of believers that are givers. Glory to God. They're blessed. Oh, yes. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and adds no sorrow. Hallelujah. Nice place to be, isn't it, brother? No sorrow? Hallelujah. Amen. If you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us an avenue to be blessed. And it's through giving, Lord. And I thank you that just as the Macedonians gave, they had joy when they gave. They had peace when they gave. Even though everything around them didn't look good, they knew who was good, and that is God. And even here today, those listening online, as you do what the Lord is telling you to do, Father, I thank you that your blessing is made available and will manifest itself within their lives. I thank you in advance for it. Bless this seed as it's sown into the kingdom of God, as it's sown into good ground, Father. I thank you that it returns good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. If you believe in that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know the young people, if they haven't been dismissed, they're dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, God is good. Amen. Well, one person knows that God is good. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is so, so good. Hallelujah. Well, today's message, we know it's, what is today? Palm Sunday. Well, every time I say that, I think to myself, palms didn't have much to do with this day or the triumphant entry. There's a half of a verse in two or three of the Gospels that talks about they laid branches on the ground, so when Jesus came, he walked across them. But it also says they laid garments on the ground too. So we don't call it like no coat day or garment day. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I am being funny because really the focus of today is the week before the resurrection. There's a whole lot more that happened. Even the colt, even the donkey had more meaning than the palm. Because Jesus rode on the donkey. And it was a young one. And when you think about it, I know enough with animals that I do not want to ride on a young donkey that's never been trained before. But he did, didn't he? There was anointing on Jesus to even ride a young donkey that's never been ridden before. But I'm not going to talk about that today. But it just intrigues me. And I've been praying about this all morning. It's like, I don't want to come against what people do in Sunday mornings and being Palm Sunday. But man, I grew up and they handed out palm leaves and they made it more about making a palm tree than they even talked about Jesus. And it just frustrated me that they're missing the point, because the same ones that laid the palms down and said Hosanna were the ones that said crucify him a week later. And I think to myself, why are we worshiping a stinking palm leaf when we need to be worshiping the Redeemer of mankind, which is Jesus? And that's what we're going to talk about today. This message kind of falls in line with last week's message about the eyes of faith. And I couldn't come up with a better title than Eyes of Faith Part 2. So that's what you're going to get. But it's geared towards his entry. It's geared towards the moment of time where Jesus made the decision, heard from heaven, we must go to Jerusalem, because there's things that are getting ready to happen. And that's the day today. This Sunday marks the day that Jesus entered in to Jerusalem. He entered into the last week before his death, burial, and resurrection. The very moment that changed humanity forever. The very moment that marked humanity forever. We're celebrating his triumphant entry. But why did I come up with, why am I going to talk about the eyes of faith? Because Jesus had to see, and he did see, what was about to happen. But he didn't say, well, I'm going to take my horse and I'm going to run the other way. No, he saw and he knew what had to be done.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what it looked like. He knew what he was going to go through. And he still said, yes. Yes, Father. I must be about my Father's business. And I want you to see, and I want you to understand, do not let adversity, do not let what you see dictate the path that God has for you. See it through the eyes of faith. Trust God and just go in the direction that the Lord's telling you to go. That's what I want to talk about today, but I'm going to gear it towards Jesus. Because I'm finding out that eyes of faith, seeing the kingdom of God through the eyes of faith, is really the whole Bible. It's unending. I'm thinking this title could be part 5 million. Because the eyes of faith is the life of the believer. It's the way we live. It's the way we operate. But prior to this day, Jesus prophesied or foretold what was to come. And this was the third time Jesus foretold what was about to happen. And if you want to go to Matthew 20, verse 17 through 19, that's going to be our foundational verse here this morning. But Jesus foretold. He prepared himself and he prepared the 12 that were with him. Let me give you a key to your life in victory. God will tell you and show you things to come. The scripture is loaded with prophecy on what's to come. God will not leave you abandoned and just kind of kick you out there in life and say, well, find your footing, buddy. See what you can do. Let the strong ones survive and the weak ones, well, they'll be done. No, God doesn't operate like that. He shares his plan. We know what's going on. We are not blind to the enemy's devices. Darkness does not have control of the church. Society does not have control of the church. World Economic Forum does not have control of the church. I don't care what they want to name it. It doesn't have control of the church. Climate change does not have control of the promise of the rainbow. Come on. The rainbow is not what you think, and the world is giving the rainbow. They stole the rainbow if you didn't know. The rainbow's a promise he'll never flood the earth again. So climate change, you can just go on out your way. The glaciers are not going to melt and flood the earth. Okay? We have a promise from God. Amen. And you see that. He shared that with you to prophesy and to foretell us that he would never flood the earth again. Amen. And he even told us, it's right there in Scripture, he will destroy the earth, but he's going to make a new one just for us. Isn't that amazing? So what are we concerned about? He already told us he's building you a mansion in heaven, children of God. How? So he's preparing a place for you. Isn't that good news? He's foretelling you, hey, I got some property and I'm building a wonderful place for you. And I shared this story. I don't know where I heard it from, but it's a story. It's not the Bible. But there was a guy, when he went to heaven, he brought his backpack full of gold. And he's like, Jesus, look what I brought for you. And he opened up the backpack. Jesus looked in the backpack and he's like, that's pavement up here. And stood on it. Amen. See, God's not looking at what we think are riches. His riches are far greater. Amen. But the Lord, I don't know why I shared that, but I've shared it a few times here lately. And I think it's a funny story. So just laugh a little, at least smile. Amen. We can have fun at church. Church is not supposed to be hard. Church is supposed to be a place where you get edified, build up, strengthened to go out and conquer the world. It's the body of believers to be encouraged, to love each other and have peace. So just because the message may come across hard, it's for your good. Amen. It's to strengthen you and to build you up to be a man and woman of God full of power and authority. Amen. To be full of the Holy Ghost, to be full of power, to be a witness. Amen. So God, Jesus is foretelling his disciples in Matthew what's about to happen. Why? To prepare them for what is going to happen. Amen. That's why he gave us his spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to direct us in things that are happening. God is not leaving you to just blindly walk through life like this. No, he's given you eyes to see. He's given you a spirit to speak to your conscience so you can say, yeah, that's not where I need to go. That's where I need to go. I do not need to be around this person. No, I need to keep my mouth shut in this situation and not speak a word about it. I often wonder, when Jesus healed people, why, probably, I don't know the exact percentage, but some of the time he said, go home, do not tell anyone. That's hard for mankind to do, because mankind likes to talk a lot about a lot of things. But there's, I'm telling you, we're living in a time where you need to speak when God says speak, and you need to be quiet when God says quiet. Amen. And the best way to learn how to do this is your intimate time with God. Amen. And if you can control your tongue talking to God and not talk too much and listen, you'll be able to do it with His Spirit when you're out there in life. Amen. So when you want, if you want to train, this is what can I say? This is just a thrown in extra. If you want to train your spirit to hear the voice of God very softly throughout the day, take time with Him at home when the day is gone and you're quiet and there's no distractions. Talk to God and then listen. Amen. And then talk to Him and listen. Talk to the Master by Himself before you try to talk to other people about the Master. Amen. Amen. That word to the wise. Don't try to do all that. Do the intimate time first, and out of that you'll be able to function and deal with everything out there. Everything. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come, the Bible says. Amen. He'll show you if people's motives are wrong. Yeah. He'll reveal things to you. Yeah. So you don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to walk around worried. He'll give you eyes of faith to see. And it's not only things that are coming your way that you'll have to sift through that He'll show you. He'll show you His goodness that's coming down the pike. Amen. Amen. He'll encourage you in areas and in ministry. Amen. Where He's going to use you in a mighty way. And even this morning, God's speaking to people. It's not like a word of knowledge for me to say that the Holy Spirit was speaking to people this morning. The atmosphere was ripe for it. Even right now, it's available for the Lord to speak to you. And there's times where I need to train myself to be quiet up here and let the Holy Spirit minister to the hearts of people. Because my talking is not your answer. God speaking to you is your answer. Amen. He'll talk through me, but He'll also talk directly to you without me. Amen. There's something here. So God's always preparing His people. What is happening and what's going to happen. Nothing is a surprise. Jesus knew then and we know now by the Spirit of God. Matthew 20:17. Here we go. Now Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, okay, so here we have disciples here. Everyone that's asked Jesus into their heart and is a child of God is a disciple, amen, a student of the Word. So Jesus was speaking to His disciples then. Jesus is speaking to His disciples now. He's preparing each one of you for what's about to happen. Amen. And that's what prophecy does. That's what foretelling does. Here it is, verse 18. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify. And the third day He will rise again. So He's saying this a week before all this is getting ready to take place. Actually, 4 days before all this is going to take place, because He was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth before next Sunday, the resurrection. This is 4 days He's sharing. We're going to Jerusalem so I can get mocked, beat, whipped, and crucified and be raised again. That's interesting. Can you imagine if the Lord spoke to you to say, I want you to go here. You're going to get whipped, beaten, chased, and murdered, but that's where I want you to go. Oh, that can't be God. That's not God. God is all about the blessing, and God has me here where it's easy. No, not for everybody. Not for everybody. It surely wasn't that case for Jesus. Wasn't that case for Paul. It wasn't that case for any of the disciples. Even John. It's not in Scripture, but writings talk about how he was dipped in oil. They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. So they put him on an island by himself. How exciting. Wonderful times for the Apostle Paul. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. Jesus was telling the disciples what they were going to do. Amen. He's telling them. Scripture is Jesus telling us what is going to happen. Amen. Giving us direction. We're going. These things must happen. It's necessary to fulfill God's redemptive plan. Did you know? This may blow your mind. Persecution is fulfilling God's redemptive plan. Think about that. When that came to me in my spirit, I thought, wow. So when I go and I share the gospel and I get rejected and get mocked, I'm fulfilling God's redemptive plan because I'm sharing the love of Jesus with people. But it's persecution. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't make me want to jump up and say, let's do it again. But what it does do, it refines me because I know I'm where I need to be. When persecution comes, I know I'm in God's redemptive plan because they're persecuting me because of the person I'm standing for. So when you stand for Jesus and you get persecuted, you're fulfilling God's redemptive plan. You're sharing the gospel. You're proclaiming the gospel. Think about that. I just want you to think about that because nobody wants persecution. But guess what? All through Scripture, they got persecuted. And they were fulfilling God's redemptive plan. Even Jesus going to the cross was persecution to fulfill his redemptive plan for you. Just meditate on that a while. Jesus knew there was a natural side and a spiritual side. I want to read out of Romans 8, 16 through 18, but I want you to hold your place there. We'll be back. Romans 8, 16 through 18 says this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So it's the Holy Spirit bears witness. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit comes in agreement, or our spirit comes in agreement with the Holy Spirit. It bears witness. It's like me bearing witness with my wife would be like, that shirt looks nice on you today. You look great today. Bearing witness. I see, I understand where she is, what she's doing, what she's wearing. I bear witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's a powerful thing. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the glory of God has the ability to witness to our own human spirit. It's powerful. Total different sermon, but powerful. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So what are they bearing witness of? That you're a child of God. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it is bearing witness and watching over you that you're a child of God. And he's comforting you and he's guiding you and he's speaking to your spirit. That's powerful. All of God is working on your behalf to protect you, watch over you, and guide you. Oh, the precious Holy Spirit. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So persecution, you're going to suffer some things, but it's okay. You're going to be glorified like he was glorified. Amen. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Huh, where's the glory going to be revealed? In us. In us. The glory of God is going to be revealed in and through us. The church. Wow. Wow. So the sufferings that we go through now, Jesus was looking and he was telling his disciples, get this. He's telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to go through the ringer. I'm getting ready to die. But what I'm getting ready to do is going to free humanity forever and give them eternity forever. Let it be, Lord. Use me. If persecution comes, so be it. If it doesn't look the way I think it ought to look, so be it. As long as I'm doing what God's telling me to do, that's what I need to do. And that's where I need to be. And I'm not pulling back from that. Do not pull away. Do not look back. You will not be fit for the kingdom, the Word of God says. Do not look back. Do not pull away. Put your hand to the plow and keep going. No matter what it looks like. No matter what you're going through, because the glory of God, it does not compare to what you're going through in the moment. There's nothing your flesh can go through that compare to what you're getting ready to be a part of when Jesus comes for you. Oh, oh man. Oh man. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, not even in the same playing field. The things we deal with in the natural do not even come close to the glory of God. We do not. It's kind of like the man that brought his backpack with gold in it. That's pavement up here. It's nothing compared. You may have loved ones that have gone before you to heaven. They are dancing on the streets of gold. There's no sin up there. There's no anger up there. There's no unforgiveness up there. There's no judgment. Oh, it's wonderful up there. Oh, glory, what we have to look forward to, I can't even describe it. The English language, no language can describe the glory of God and what it's going to be like. There's no comparison. Oh, hallelujah. That's what your eyes need to fix on. You need to see heaven in everything you do. And when you see heaven in everything you do, you'll be doing everything that God's asking you to do. Because it's gearing towards heaven. Our lives, listen to me, church, our lives, our decisions, our words should be geared towards heaven. Everything we do should point towards heaven. And if it's not pointed towards heaven, we shouldn't be doing it. You say, well, I don't like my job. My employer is an unbeliever. Well, the Lord may have you in that job. Do your work unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Be a blessing at your job. Don't look at the situation to say that this isn't, it doesn't look like heaven, so it must not be God. No, we're in this world. Be a part of what the Lord's telling you to do. Be faithful there, and the Lord will move you out or do what he needs to do. But be faithful in the moment. And work like you're working for the King of Glory. Amen. Work like you're working for heaven. The Bible says, do your work. What? Unto the Lord. So if your work is not for God, what are you doing? It's dead. A dead work. Not my sermon today, but it's a good one. Amen. Back to Matthew chapter 20. But as you get there, what Jesus was about to go through was horrific in every way, but doesn't compare to the glory of God. It doesn't compare to the honor that he received. Do you notice when he got to heaven, the Father said, sit at my right hand. Sit right next to me. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. And then I'll have my place in heaven too. I won't be like John and his brother that are the mother that said, can my son sit next to you in heaven? I don't need to sit next to him. Just being in his presence. Just being there with him. That's good enough for me, even if I'm in the far back. Words can't touch. Oh, man. We don't know. We don't know. By Jesus' faithfulness this day to head towards Jerusalem, he's still receiving the glory even today. This service here this morning to glorify Jesus is because of his faithfulness to go to that cross. Lives being changed today and transformed by the power of God. Jesus is receiving the glory for it. There's things you'll never see on this earth, but you'll find out in heaven. And you'll receive the glory for your persecution and your faithfulness here. If we can see what God's doing and focus on what he says to do, nothing compares. Nothing compares to the glory of God. Generations are being changed by your faithfulness now. The things that are in my children's life, I don't receive the glory for it, but the Lord knows my faithfulness in my heart to pour into my kids, into my wife, Same for my wife. We don't know everything that's going on in the spirit realm. But I know enough to know the impact is powerful when you allow your life to be used by God. Nothing compares. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. It's sombering. I really thought this was going to be a shouting message. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what people have need of. The life we are experiencing in our flesh doesn't compare. But our hope is an anchor to our soul. When our hope is fixed on God, it doesn't matter the storm, we're anchored in Him. We're not tossed to and fro with winds of doctrine. We're not tossed to and fro by the storms of life or the persecution. We're anchored. Hope is an anchor. And the world cannot pull a spiritual anchor. Remember that. The world, the enemy cannot pull a spiritual anchor when you put it in Christ. Upon this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When you place your anchor in the kingdom of heaven, there's nothing hell can do about it. Nothing. The only one that can pull their anchor is you. And I encourage you, don't pull your anchor. Put it in God. Leave it there and let Him hold you. Amen. Till He comes to get you. Amen. Amen. Hope is an anchor to the soul. An anchor to your thoughts, your will, your emotion, your desires. What your flesh goes through, do not let it destroy your hope. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see on earth, do not let it pull your anchor that's in God. Don't even let it come close. I've seen some wild things. My wife's family just got back from a cruise, and they had 3 days, I think it was, with 30-foot waves. It was terrible. Even the water in the pool inside the cruise was coming out of the pool. That's how bad it was. Not the place I want to be. But the Lord was with them, and they made it home safe. Why did I share that? I shared that because when you put your anchor in God, there's things in life that are going to throw you for a loop. I believe in the blessing more than anybody else. I believe in the promises of God as much as anybody else. But there was a whole lot of people in Scripture that went through some persecution that I can't ignore. But they were blessed and they were content and they received their reward because of their faithfulness to stand in the face of adversity. I may believe in the blessings more than a lot of people, but I highly doubt I had as much revelation as Paul did. And he went through an awful lot. I'm sure I try to live a sinless life, but I'm 110% positive my life isn't as pure as Jesus's. But sure enough, he went through persecution because he sinned not. And he still went through the ringer for you and I. The persecution you're receiving and going through doesn't mean you're missing God. It means you're in the will of God. I'm talking about persecution. Right. I'm not talking about problems. That's another time. No, I'm not preaching that today. It's Palm Sunday. Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed. That word betrayed means delivered or given power to. When you are betrayed, your power is taken from you. That's what that word betrayed means. So, behold, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed. Jesus' power will be stripped from Him by the chief priests and the scribes. And I read that and I think to myself, wow. The chief priests, those who were the chief priests, they were the law of the land. They were the high priests. They were the leadership, the spiritual authority, so they thought. It made me think. Here we have the chief priest, the law of the land, which in our day, the government thinks of the law of the land. But really what intrigued me were the scribes. The scribes were writers, secretary, or town clerk. As soon as I read that, my spirit came alive and said, that is just like the media. They are the scribes of the present day life that we're living in. The system is the government. The media is the scribes that are perverting and pushing the system. And man, it just lit in me like a fire. And I was like, yes, we are literally dealing with the ones that think they're in spiritual authority and the scribes that are pushing the agenda. And if we are listening to what the leadership of the world is saying and what the media is pushing, we give over our power and our authority to them. Church, I'm telling you, do not be perverted by the system. Don't listen to the lies and what's being pushed by the scribes of today. Just because it's written in a newspaper or just because the news has it does not make it fact. I'm telling you right now, the root of it is evil. And if the root is evil, the fruit's evil. I don't care how much you paint that pig, it's still a pig. Let's be honest about it. And I'm not calling the people pigs. Don't mess up the sermon. I'm not calling people that. It's evil at its core. The health system, evil at its core. What's their greatest way of promoting? TV and advertisement scribes. Pushing what it is that they're trying to get. You can see it. You can see it, church. Jesus foretells. Jesus and his spirit show the church what it needs to be a part of and what it does not need to be a part of. He's given you faith to see the truth in the midst of lies. That's what the Spirit of God can do for the believer. You literally can walk and live through life and see the lies, work through them, and see the truth of the matter. It's called discernment. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. All the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, they reveal things, they show things, and they give power over things. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, you will not be taken out by the system. You'll overcome because Jesus already overcame. You have to see it through the eyes of faith, church. Just like Jesus saw the end, he didn't move by what was taking place. He didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they came, he knew Judas was going to kiss him. He knew Judas was going to give him away. But he didn't let that dictate going there and being arrested. Think about this. So Jesus was betrayed by the chief priests, but notice what else happens. He will be condemned or convicted of death. So they made the laws. So it's like a court of law. They brought him, they betrayed him, they condemned him. Guess what? You're guilty. Guilty! Fact of the matter, he wasn't guilty at all. He never sinned. But in man's eyes, he was guilty. They pushed it. The writers wrote it down. He's guilty. Tell all the people. Guilty. Verse 19. And deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, scourge, and crucify. Notice something here. Jesus went through both types of people. What do I mean by that? The law, the Jews, and then the Gentiles, the pagans and the heathens. So Jesus was convicted and beaten because of both. But he died, was crucified, and rose again for both. Just like the Jew needs Jesus, so does the Gentile. But they both put him on the cross. They both condemned him. They both beat him. They both lied to him. But his blood paid for them all. Amen. So there's not a mankind out there. There's not no race out there that can't be free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Jew and Gentile. Those were the two, not nationalities, but two people groups. You have Jew and Gentile, or Jew and Greek. And now you have three. You have the Jew, the Greek, and the church in the New Testament. Three. Everything pagan falls under Gentile and Greek. But you have the Jew, the Greek, and now you have the church. And Jesus died for the Jew and the Greek to make the church. And that's what makes the church today. There's Jewish believers. And there's pagans like the rest of us that accepted Jesus and got set free. Hallelujah. You got to see that. This is the love of God personified. It's just, Jesus laid it out for everybody. He knew he had to go. And he couldn't say no, because that was the Father's redemptive plan. When you see God's plan for your life and you know his will for your life, you'll go anywhere, you'll do anything, and you won't hold back. Whatever you have me to do, Lord. I thank God he sent me back here. It's pretty easy here on the eastern shore of Maryland. There's others that did not get the same marching orders as I got. They may already be martyred because God had something to do with them. And you say, well, their life was cut short. No, to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, we look at it the wrong way. We think to ourselves, their life here on earth was cut short. You think of a little baby that passes. Man, they didn't get a chance to live. Man, they didn't get a chance to see sin. They went from glory to glory. See, it's your perspective on situations that changes everything. When you see God in the love of God and how he does things, you know God's good in everything he does. You don't question him. You don't wonder about, well, what about this and what about that? God knows what's going on. Let me just hear what God's saying. Lord, show me. Show me, Lord. So Jesus died for the Jew and the Greek. The Gentiles mocked, scourged, and crucified. That word mock is rude remarks and ridiculed. Anybody ever have that anymore? Oh, sure. Yep. Gentiles will mock you. Scourge is to flog and beat. I don't know if you've ever seen a cat of nine tails, but it's a nasty thing. It literally, when they strike you, it has hooks on it, and it goes in and pulls flesh. Chunks. That's what he got whipped with. You say, oh, that's gruesome. Yeah, it was. It was. Very much so. I encourage you to study Cat of Nine Tails out, because it'll give you some revelation on what Jesus went through. Cause you not to take the things of God lightly or his healing power lightly. He got whipped so you could be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, what an awesome God. It makes me just want to go flat on my face and worship him. Jesus died for all, and he has redeemed all. He knew what he had to do. See, what the world thought was bad, which was they thought Jesus was bad, was literally the answer to life and eternity. See how backwards the world is? And think about it right now. They look at the church as being the bigots and the bad ones. Bible says it. Evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. That's exactly what's going to happen to the church. We love people, but people think we don't love them. They think we're judging them, or we're against them, or it's only our way. We don't have an open mind. If they knew the freedom that's found in Christ, they would flock to Jesus. They would flock to Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to share a few scriptures with you. Acts 2, 22 through 28. This is towards the end of this, verses 25 through 27. Or 25 through 28, it's talking about David, and that's what I want you to see. But let me read the first part. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God knows what he's doing, church. He's not missing it. He's not falling asleep. He knows there is a purpose for what's taking place. You say, well, there's wars. That doesn't seem like God. God told us there'll be wars. And there'll be rumors of wars. The earth will travail. He knows that because Jesus is coming soon. The foreknowledge of God you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. There's nothing the world can do to hold Jesus back. Verse 25. This is David. For David says, this was prophecy from King David. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Oh, what a wonderful truth. David saw Jesus always before his face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. The eyes of faith, David saw Jesus. He knew God was with him. Verse 26, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. If you want a scripture that describes that the Lord can give you peace in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, there it is. The prophecy of David. He foresaw the Lord. His heart rejoiced. His tongue was glad. And his flesh also rested in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow my Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. This was prophecy way before Jesus came. Way before Jesus was born. David saw it through faith. He knew it. Why did David dance before the Lord? Because he was at perfect peace with God. He knew God was with him. God's with you. Maybe we need to make a dance floor to worship God and dance and sing before him. You say, well, that sounds kind of religious. That's not the church. No, that's the church. Amen. We're not stepping into some of these things. You say, well, I don't have moves. Neither do I. Let the Lord give you the moves. Let the Lord give you the voice. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. See, we're too worried about our flesh and what we sound like or look like or we'll embarrass ourselves. Hey, I'm far past embarrassing myself. I've done it plenty of times. Doesn't bother me anymore. I can stutter. I can lose my train of thought. Doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. Amen. Hallelujah. God forgives me if I mess up on a scripture reference. Amen. God forgives you if you mess up. Yes. That's why there's no judgment. We're human. Amen. But our faith looks to God and gets our answers from God, so we don't allow the natural to trip us up. We don't allow the thought patterns of messing up or what we look like or what somebody says about. That has no bearing on who we are. What other people say about you that's not of God has no bearing on you. Don't let it take hold. Don't let it be rooted in you. See yourself the way God sees you, and you don't worry about what people say about you. Oh, your sermon's this. Oh, you're doing an Easter egg hunt? That's so pagan. Yeah, how many people you get saved the last week? Really? You say, well, that's brash, Pastor. Yeah, people are commenting about what we're doing. I'm telling you, we're bringing the love of God to people. We're sharing the love of Jesus with people. We're being the church. We're not worshiping a rabbit or an egg. It's an avenue for people to find God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People say things about people all the time. Ministers will say things about ministers all the time. Now, I get my marching orders from God. If you want to link up and be a part of what God's doing, praise God. Other churches, I love to work with other churches. But if all you're going to do is be negative, I don't have time for that. Life is too short. My eyes are on heaven. They're not on pleasing man. Amen. You got to know your pastor talks like this. You see what you get. Amen. And you get what you see. People want somebody that can lead. That's why people follow Jesus, because he was a leader. He stood and he did the Father's business. He went to the cross. He went to Jerusalem knowing that he was going to be mocked, beaten, scourged, and betrayed. He knew all that in advance and went anyway. Why? Because he's about his Father's business. He saw the benefit of going through the turmoil physically. He saw the reward on the other side. Amen. If you can see the reward on the other side, you won't let this world hinder you one second. You won't waste time trying to answer people's stupid questions. If that was wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Sorry, if I said that wrong, he'll convict me and I'll get right with him. But if you get offended and you get mad at me for saying that and God wanted me to say it, that's not my problem. That's between you and God. I know I'm getting on a place I probably ought not to get. How did I get from there, from dancing before the Lord as David did in a dance floor to what I was just talking about? I do not know. Lord, only you know these things. David saw through the eyes of faith. He knew Jesus was always with him. See, David saw it beforehand. Jesus lived with the disciples, so they saw it personally. And now the church, we live in Christ, and we experience it daily, the risen Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Acts 3:14. I'm going to close with this. See, Jesus saw redemption. He knew he was the one that had to enter Jerusalem. He saw that in advance. He knew it. He saw your life, your sin, your sickness, and he said, "Yes, I'll go. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending me. Because people's lives are in the balance. Disease and sickness is plaguing your people. I will go stand in the place for them. I'll take the cat of nine tails. I'll take the crown of thorns. I'll take the nails. I'll take whatever it takes to set your people free." You know, as I'm speaking these words, I'm thinking to myself, the calling that's on many other ministers. And I'm not saying this for myself, because I don't see the persecution near what they see in other places. But it really pulls on my heart to know what ministers, missionaries, evangelists, that go into places that are just like what Jesus is facing. Ministers that are mugged, stabbed, and beaten. Robbed, houses burned down. And you know what they do? They get up, everything's gone, and they say, "Yes, Lord, what do you want me to do now?" Yep. Come on. Why? A calling on their life. Yeah. They don't have any other option. It's God and God only. Yeah. There's no other path to take but the narrow one that's forward. This is some service. Acts 3:14-16. Church, you got to see yourself free. You got to see your family free, your nation free, this generation. It's free. You got to see it. Hallelujah. Acts 3:14-16. "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which you were witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I wanted to share that because it was talking about the man that was healed, But it says, faith which comes through him has given him perfect soundness. That word soundness is wholeness. Faith through Jesus Christ will give you perfect wholeness. That's what I want you to grab a hold of, church. Through the eyes of faith, God has your perfect soundness. He will make you whole in every area of your life, your spirit, your soul, and your body. If you can see God in every situation, you will see completeness and wholeness in every situation. You'll see the hand of the Lord move on your behalf. You'll see your finances be carried by God. God will make a way when there is no way. When the bills pile up, God is like, I see what you're going through. I will bring a remedy. I will make a way of escape. I will send laborers across your path. I will cause your oil and your flour to never run dry. I'll cause your loaves and fishes to be blessed, multiply, and produce a miracle before you. If the river that is running through dries up, I'll send you somewhere where quail, where manna from heaven will come and feed you. If you're cold, I'll send a pillar of fire by night. That's what the Lord says. And that's what the Lord says for you. He hasn't given up on the church. He hasn't given up on you. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Hallelujah. Just receive what God has for you. If you've already received, get another dose. Get another dose of what God has for you. He hasn't given up on you. He's looking at you and saying, I love you. I love you more than you even know. I sent my son because I love you. I created you for such a time as this. You're not a mistake. I didn't mess up when I created you. I made you in my image. I created you in my likeness. You hold and you contain the exact DNA of the kingdom of heaven. You are a spirit. I made you because I am a spirit. You may be sitting there or listening online saying, I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me. God created the heavens and the earth. God created all the animal, the water, the firmament, everything. But he also created man. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The world may say something different. But God made you a spirit being. And the only way to have fulfillment in this life is to operate the way God created you to operate, which is to walk and live in the Spirit, to receive His Spirit and come alive to Him. Not just live in your flesh, physical body, not just live in your head, your mental ascent and intellect, but to live out of your spirit. And the way to do that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that, you can make a step of faith right now to receive God's grace and become born again. For your spirit on the inside to come alive to God that He placed in you at birth. Just ask Him into your heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again for me. On this Palm Sunday, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Take out that stony heart. Give me a heart of flesh. Every curse of the enemy, every lie of the enemy, I release right now in Jesus' name. And I accept the kingdom of heaven. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Stepping over into the plans and the purposes of God. You became a child of the Most High God. You're not just a Jew any longer. You're not just a heathen or a pagan or a Greek or a Gentile. You are now a child of the Most High God. A joint heir with Christ. And your eternity is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. Whatever your people have need of, Lord, you know it. Every desire, every thought, every decision, every breath even, you know. You know each one of us, Lord, better than we know ourselves. There's things that we think we know, but the truth is we don't know. But God does. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, does. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and fire, I want to offer that to you this morning. There's a baptism of fire, an anointing from heaven to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've accepted Jesus. I thought you received the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus. You do. But there's an anointing, there's an impartation of the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus says, I am the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus himself needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's gentle, it's loving, but it brings great power to walk in the supernatural. If you've been living a life that's what the world would call good Christian, but your witness isn't there, you feel weak, you feel beat up, there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that will empower you to conquer and give you a boldness to live and walk in victory every day. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you want that, I want you to lift your hands, every head bow, every eye closed. Just lift your hands right where you are. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to pray for those online. You still online? Yeah. All right. Father, fill them right now in Jesus' name. Every heart that desires the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Fill them right now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Yes, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Every hungry heart that desires it, filled to overflowing. Hallelujah, right now. Everyone here, lift your hands to heaven right now. We'll top you off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just receive all God has now in Jesus' name. Be filled. Be filled. Say, I don't feel anything. It's not about what you feel. Spiritual doesn't work on feelings. Spiritual works on faith. If you want it, you have it. Receive it now in Jesus' name. by faith, be made whole. If you have sickness in your body, operates the same way. By faith, receive it now in Jesus' name. Well, I don't feel any better. It's not moved by feelings. It's moved by faith. Believe it and receive it. You are the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You've been given a bad report. Don't believe that report. Get the good report. By faith, the elders received a good report. Amen. So every report is a good report in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I don't accept bad reports. Neither should you. I don't accept lack. Neither should you. God is not a God of lack. God is a God of abundance. Oh, it can never happen. No, that's not God. God is a God of miracles. Ha ha. Yes. Well, I'm sad. Well, that's not God either. God is a God of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart does good like medicine. Hallelujah. Receive it by faith now. Well, you don't know my circumstance. I don't need to. I know who God is. I don't need to know a circumstance. I don't need to know the trouble. I know Jesus paid it all. Well, it looks like hell in my life. That's not God. God is not like hell. God is like heaven, full of joy and peace. Hallelujah. Receive all of heaven now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. There's nothing that you can't have that God is withholding from you. Whew, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need prayer, you can come forward. Thank you for listening online. We love you. Have a great week. Come back and see us in a few hours. We'll be on at 6:30 tonight. Glory to God. You'll get another dose of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Anyone here that needs prayer, feel free to come forward. There's a presence. There's an anointing. Hallelujah. There's something about when you impart by laying on of hands. I don't understand it all, but all I do is I know God says do it. I obey by faith and God does it. Hallelujah. It's that simple. It's that simple. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you haven't received what you have need of in your seat, there is an altar that is provided, that is available. Huh. See, we look at an altar as receiving something. But really, an altar is a place of releasing things, sacrificing things. That's what an altar is. It just so happens when you sacrifice something that's not of God, God shows up and fills that place that you put to death the deeds of the flesh or whatever it may be. That's what the altar is. So if you need time up here to lay something down, give it to God. It's available. Just come up, put your feet right on the front carpet. Hallelujah. That's the altar. Giving up what you don't want any longer. If you're holding something that's not of God and you need to release it, the altar's a place. The altar's a place between you and God. I may not even lay hands on you or pray for you. I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. As a pastor, all I'm doing is getting you to the place where you and the Lord work things out. Sometimes there's a little help needed. Sometimes there's just an atmosphere. And all the help is available. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a word of faith. Sometimes it's oil. Sometimes it's laying on of hands. Sometimes it's on your knees. Sometimes it's just laughing in the joy of the Lord and your healing comes. God works in mysterious ways. But what I do know is God works. God works. And He's working on many people. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The altar is available. Come and be altered at the altar. Come and be changed, transformed, never the same again. When the Lord touches your life, you're never the same again. It's remarkable how that was said 2 hours ago. It's the same gospel, doesn't change. It's the good news. It's the life-changing power of God. Hallelujah. Through His Word and by His Spirit. Everything you have need of is found in two things, the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. The Word is the instruction. The Spirit is the power to bring that instruction to pass. The Word is the Logos. The Spirit is the anointing to make Logos Rhema, which is the spoken word written on your heart that brings change to your life. It's a living word. It's alive and well. The Lord's doing some surgery on some people today. Bringing life and life more abundant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive all God has. He's with you.